when we start getting into the upper, highest level echelon of the cover-up of the UFO phenomenon, I still feel that I need to be careful and researchers need to be careful. Who's the actual person at the top of it? Is it David Rockefeller? Is it some member of the Rothschild family? Is it some member that we don't know about within the deep black budget community? Or is it the aliens themselves in one form or another? I guess we can ask ourselves, what is the likelihood that the non-human intelligences that are behind the UFO phenomenon are managing the cover-up to some extent? I think we could say a few things. One, we can say they do not have an interest in being out there, in being publicly acknowledged. They do operate by stealth. I think they've always operated by stealth. So they have an interest in maintaining a cover of secrecy. Toward that end, if I were tasked with doing counterintelligence on the cover-up, I would have to consider the likelihood that they themselves have some role to play in the secrecy.
The Pentagon had a secretive program to research UFOs.
The military reports there have been strange sightings of unauthorized or unidentified aircraft over its airspace.
There's a few that really just get me scratching my head saying, what could it have been?
Why do you say that UFOs are as real as the airplanes flying over our heads?
Because I know that they are.
He is into this, and he's into it in a big way.
That's right.
And he's either a liar or this guy is really telling the truth. There's no middle ground here.
Well, he's certainly not a liar. I also know Paul, and he's got a great deal of integrity. And he's, you know, done a lot of research into this subject, as well as many, many other people have done. And I think it's very important that we have someone of his stature who's willing to go out there.
With increasing numbers of UFO sightings covered on major news networks each year, the attention being given to the phenomenon is greater than ever before. But is there a reason for this sudden explosion of coverage? Richard Dolan is a world-renowned UFO researcher and has written several books in the field, the most recent being UFOs and Disclosure in the Trump Era. A radio presenter, lecturer, and host of the Richard Dolan YouTube channel, he has appeared widely on television documentaries and shows, including the Gaia TV series Deep Space, and is the writer and host of the series False Flags, available on Gaia.com. After 25 years of research, interviews, and the reviewing of countless declassified military documents detailing encounters with unidentified objects, Richard has become convinced that a UFO cover-up of incredible dimensions has taken place. Something far beyond anything he would have first considered possible.
I believe that we're moving towards something. I think our society is changing. It has been changing dramatically over the past number of decades, and that won't stop. You know, we have a much better ability to communicate. We have a much better ability to get information, even illegally at times, out mm-hmm. of government through WikiLeaks and things like this. So we're not in a stable world in that sense, and I think anything can happen. I don't believe that there will be a voluntary government disclosure of UFOs unless and until they are pushed to the wall by some extreme event.
Something happens.
A leak, a sighting, something that's not foreseen. Otherwise, no, I'm not seeing it as very likely. Let's say there's a kind of a confidence that the U.S. government has, or some other government, global government has, that they could release this and then control the spin, control the narrative.
Right.
If they felt that they could do that, maybe they would.
But what must be recognized is that our security is based on being prepared to meet all threats. There was a time when we depended on coastal forts and artillery batteries because with the weaponry of that day, any attack would have had to come by sea. Well, this is a different world, and our defenses must be based on recognition and awareness of the weaponry possessed by other nations in the nuclear age. We can't afford to believe we will never be threatened.
Could governments use the narrative of a potential UFO invasion to cover a more sinister agenda of control? Are certain departments and officials actually aware of genuine visitors from the stars and of their intentions towards humanity?
There are certainly stories, legitimate ones, I think, within the abduction research that indicate human and non-human collaboration. The Travis Walton abduction case comes to mind, in which Travis Walton in 1975 was aboard a craft, saw non-humans, and saw very human-looking people on this craft.
Travis, get back here! Travis!
Let's say we were an alien group and we were here on Earth. We don't look like the natives, but we have an interest in their civilization. We have an interest in monitoring. Maybe we even have an interest in managing them because we realize that they're shooting like this in terms of their technology and they're about to leap into our world, whether we like it or not. So we might want to establish a presence and influence among them. We might want to have a base on their world for some reason. If we did, how would we do that? Well, we would have to have our own people who look just like them, our own fifth column. Is this really the case? I don't know that it's the case. I think you'd be foolish not to consider it as a reasonable thing. It actually works very well with the evidence that has come to me from a number of individuals who've had encounters with very highly strange individuals who just don't seem human like the rest of us. There is a story about a famous murdered remote viewer by the name of Pat Price back in the 1970s. Pat Price was possibly the best remote viewer the United States ever had. He was an off-the-charts remote viewer. He was that good. He had one of the rare abilities to read alphanumeric information. That is, in other words, he could read documents and file cabinets and things like this. He was extremely, extremely proficient. On one occasion, he did, on his own, he said, some remote viewing work on where alien bases were here on planet Earth. He strolled into the office in the mid-70s of Hal Puthoff, who was running the program, and said, oh yes, by the way, I thought I would just on my spare time look to see where the alien bases were. This is true, he said this, and he identified several. They were all basically in mountain areas. So one was in the Pyrenees, one was in Mount Hayes, Alaska. And he said, regarding that base, the Mount Hayes, Alaska base, he said, that has political protection in the United States government. He said, they have their people in the U.S. government who are making sure that no one pries in on that base. That particular base, the way Pat Price described it, was somewhat similar to how you might look at the base in the Hollywood movie Men in Black, you know, the huge alien depot where all the different races go, and humans as well. I don't think he described it with quite the humor that you'd get in the movie, but in other words, a big transit point. And in fact, what Pat Price said to Puthoff about that base is when he was remote viewing it, they began remote viewing him, and he pulled away out of fear. So if that's true, and that would seem to indicate to me that there is some level of collaboration and or control that is being exercised by them within our society. Pat Price, I think, was certainly murdered in the mid-1970s. I think there's no question about this. When people look into the circumstances of his death, it looked like he was poisoned with a cup of coffee in a Las Vegas hotel. In the early 90s, there was a fairly prominent UFO researcher by the name of Bob Exler, and he was involved in a lot of different kind of investigative activities. One of the things that he did was he had a telephone conversation with former NSA director Bobby Ray Inman, who within the intelligence community is something of a legend. After Inman left the NSA and left U.S. formal government service, he became the leading executive of the SAIC, which is one of the major defense contractors, one of the top, most prestigious defense contractors in the nation. Bobby Ray Inman is among almost anyone you can think of, very plugged in to what is going on with all kinds of realities, including the UFO reality. Exler had a conversation with him on the phone and would not use the word extraterrestrial, would not use the word UFO explicitly, but in the context of his conversation with Inman, made it very clear that this is what he was talking about, and asked Inman about the reality of this. This is shortly after things like the Majestic 12 documents became known after in the late 1980s. And it's very evident from the conversation, as reported by Exler, that Inman acknowledged the reality of a group like MJ-12, that is an oversight group managing the UFO reality. So I think that this actually happened. I would add that Exler's conversation with Inman is not the only type of conversation that confirmed the reality of MJ-12. I think equally important was a series of conversations held with a scientist named Eric Walker. Now, Eric Walker was a friend of Dwight Eisenhower. He was a former president of Penn State University, and most significantly was a head of an organization known as the Institute for Defense Studies. This was a powerful defense think tank. Researcher Grant Cameron, Scott Crane, and a few other people encountered Walker in the late 80s after MJ-12 became out there, and they found him. Their own research essentially led them to Walker. And Walker, in his first few conversations with them, absolutely admitted and acknowledged the reality of a group like MJ-12. Said almost exactly the same type of things that Inman said, but even more explicit. I believe that we have been observed and monitored for a long, long time. I think what we call the UFO phenomenon probably goes through our entire history. All of the official word is that there's nothing to this. It's all hoaxes, hallucinations, misidentifications. But that's not true. So when I found that there was this great discrepancy, it's the way that I am. I can't let go. And I will continue to try to pry that open to the best of my ability.
Thank you for watching The Fifth Kind, brought to you in association with Gaia.com. Follow the links to unlock the entire Gaia library with a special 99¢ sign-up offer.